tonight. We're in Revelation chapter 11, only going through the first 13 verses as we talk about the two witnesses and who they are and why there needs to be a rebuilt temple during the time of Jacob's trouble, the seven-year tribulation. Nothing happens by accident. God does everything decently in order. God is in control of everything. The devil does want people to think that he's in control. The devil does want people to think that he loves them. I don't know if you've heard the recent controversy. I could care less about alcohol companies and stuff, but you probably heard the controversy with the transgender who Bud Light, Anheuser-Busch, wanted to be their spokesperson, and that cost them millions of dollars because people just stopped buying their alcohol because not everybody, Christian and non-Christian, even non-Christians, aren't for that agenda, okay? So they really got backlash. Now Target recently just did the same thing by having a display in the front of their stores. They've moved it now because of the backlash, but it was all about pride and homosexuality and transgender. And some of the Target hired a well-known Satanist to be their in charge of marketing. So they had, not only did they have their rainbow-colored, you know, apparel and the T-shirts that, you know, even for little babies, you know, promoting, you know, just, you know, I forget what it said, but, you know, whatever gender I am, just love me, you know, love is whatever. They had a pink T-shirt with a picture of a girl laying on a bed just saying, I'm just spending time thinking about girls. Just promoting, just forcing their beliefs on society, right? They also had some shirts that said, Satan loves you. I mean, all satanic stuff because they have a satanic person in charge of the marketing. Well, now they're getting a bunch of backlash because, again, the whole world isn't for it. Whether people know it or not, it is a small majority. It's a minority. It's not a majority that is for the homosexual agenda and all of that, right? But because they have the mainstream media on their side, they have a bigger voice, okay? And the Bible already said they call the good bad and the bad good, right? Righteousness is called evil, but evil is called good, okay? So, I mean, again, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse, all right? The whole just even, you know, I identify as this gender, all right? I mean, people are just going wacko with that. You know, there are people that, you know, are coming out and saying, well, I identify as a cat. I identify as a dog. There's a grown woman that identifies as a 15-year-old boy. You know, just all these wacko things. And I probably won't show it to you, but I'll tell you. Someone showed it to me on Facebook. There's a woman on Facebook that, now whether it's true or not, I don't know. Some things you just have to, I don't know if that's true or not. But this woman supposedly has sued her parents. She's a grown woman. She has adopted children, but she has sued her parents for not consenting with her before she was conceived and brought forth into the world. She says that, you know, they should have consented with her by getting with the medium, you know, contacting her spirit and asking, you know, you want to come into the world? So, I mean, it's now, again, I don't know if it's legit that she's actually suing her parents by it. But, again, the world's just going to get more weirder and weirder because Society just promotes this stuff, and you be who you want to be. All right. Well, I kind of want to, you know, I want to identify with a non-tax-paying citizen and not pay taxes, right? Because they don't use my taxes the way I want them to use it, right? I mean, it's just, it's getting weirder, but you just don't know how weird people are going to get, but it's because of sin, right? So when we go to Revelation chapter 11, I mean, just the things you see, the things you hear, the things you see, you just know, well, we're headed towards the end. The end is right around the corner. And, you know, again, you think in the end time, why so many people reject Jesus Christ even when he reigns for 1,000 years? It's because of sin. It's because, I'm going to say we, because the Bible says we are lovers of dark. Man is a lover of darkness instead of the light, instead of righteousness, right? We just, the sinful nature, all right? Someone is given an opportunity to do good or bad, their sinful flesh leans to the bad, to the sin. Now, as a child of God, having the Spirit of God in us, the Holy Spirit leans us towards what's right. We still have a choice, and sometimes we choose to do what's wrong because, well, that's what I want to do. All right, but we have a Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit kind of prompts us to do what's right. All right. So again, just bringing some of that stuff up. Again, nothing happens by accident. All right. Some things, America is so in the dark when it comes to world. What do I want to say? When it comes to things happening in the world, Americans are in the dark, okay? And I'll tell you why in a minute. Revelation chapter 11. Because our mainstream media will not give you the truth, all right? They're not going to publicize the truth, okay? They always publicize their agenda, okay? And if, I'll just say this, if the mainstream media is promoting a certain person for the president office, then it's probably not the right person to pick. There are several people right now who have put their bid in to be the Republican's nominee for the president. Agree with him or not agree with him, President Donald Trump is shunned by the news media. Remember, his Twitter account was canceled. All those accounts, they try to shut him out, and they're trying to drag him through the court system and all this stuff. But there's someone else who has really done good for his state, it seems like, but he's promoted by the mainstream media. So you got to be careful, even though they have the tag Republican. Remember, Donald Trump is a Democrat, but he ran as a Republican, just like Ronald Reagan did. Ronald Reagan was a Democrat. He ran as a Republican. Because, remember, if you go, and I don't mean to get off on politics and stuff, but back in the early days, Democrats were actually for the people. If you go back, but because they're for the people, guess what? That was easy for certain agendas to kind of sneak in and kind of take over. Now the Democratic Party has been taken over, all right? They don't even want you to speak about God or prayer or anything, all right? So I'm just saying that the devil is hard at work, all right? He's going to turn people away from the Lord. He's working. He's got the lost in his clutches, in his grasp, and he wants to deceive the minds of God's people into believing a lie. Okay, why do you think the Jews are going to be so open-armed to the Antichrist? Because they're looking for their Messiah. They rejected Jesus as the Messiah. So now another person comes on the scene, you know, promoting peace and all of this, and they accept him. They're able to sign the 7-year peace treaty, but 3.5 year mark, obviously the Antichrist turns on them and starts killing them and all of this, all right? So, Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 through 14. And there was given me a reed. A reed was given to John, like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. Okay, if you remember, and I forgot to get a picture of it, but, you know, with the temple is for the priests to go in and to do, you know, to do their service, the showbread, all this. The high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, but there's a court on the outside that Gentiles can go and worship. Gentiles have converted to Judaism, and they're serving, and they've been proselytized. I probably can't even say it right. But anyway, the Gentiles that are worshiping God, okay? But that is left out. Verse 2, but the court which is without the temple leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months, which is 3.5 years. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood upon their feet and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Now, throughout the Bible, sometimes the Lord would have them write 1,260 days, 42 months. It's all 3.5 years. All right. When you calculate it, 42 months is 3.5 years. 1,260 days equals 3.5 years. All right. Now, here's a question. Has God turned away from the Jews? Because there are those that believe in replacement theology, where God has replaced Israel with the church because Israel rejected the Messiah. And there are those that believe that God's done with the Jews. Well, then how do you explain Revelation? How do you explain the things happening in Revelation where it is happening to the Jews, where God ordains 144,000 Jewish evangelists, seals them with 777 in their forehead. He seals them with his mark. And people are getting saved, Jews and Gentiles alike, during the seven-year tribulation. All right. Again, there are those that believe God's done with the Jews. All right. Did God replace Israel with the church? Two questions. Both of them, the answer is no. God has not replaced Israel with the church. But you look in the Old Testament, and God, because in the Old Testament it was prophesied that they would reject their Messiah, he would be cut off, all right, that God was going to open the way for the Gentiles. God's plan from the beginning was for all to be saved, right? Yes, he chose a nation. He chose a people. He chose Abraham. And you get down, you have Jacob, his 12 sons, which are Israel, the tribes of Israel, okay? Because guess what? God chose the Messiah to come through a Jewish nation and come through the line of Judah. That's why he's the Lion of Judah. God's not done with the Jews. Let's look at some verses here. Look at Romans chapter 11. Keep a finger in Revelation, but Romans chapter 11. Very interesting. We're in Revelation chapter 11. And in Romans 11, let me get there. It speaks about this. Romans chapter 11, 1 through 15. I say then, this is Paul speaking to the believers at Rome, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Now, who is Paul? Is Paul a Gentile or a Jew? He's a Jew. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews, right? So, and he, having been revealed things by God, by Christ, the things he's writing, he would know, he knows the Old Testament, all right? He was a Pharisee. He knows the Old Testament. And God gave him the plan of salvation for the Gentiles, which is by faith, okay? So Paul says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? He speaks about the Jews. God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias or Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him, unto Elijah? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Even in Paul's day, it seemed like the nation of Israel was against the things of God, was against the Messiah, and it seemed like nobody wanted to hear Paul's message. But Paul says, no, there's always been a remnant, right? Let's see here. Look at verse number 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, speaking of the nation of Israel, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear, unto this day, because they rejected the Messiah. Just stopping there, you can read on yourself. But God has given the nation of Israel slumber. I mean, eyes they do not hear, ears they cannot hear, because they rejected their Messiah. So they haven't been cut off. They've just been set aside for a time. And the seven-year tribulation is called in the Bible the Great Tribulation. But as we'll see, even in Scripture, that it's also called the time of Jacob's trouble. All right, let's see here. Go to Daniel chapter 9. Look at Daniel chapter 9, or just listen. Try to flip real quick here because time is always escaping. This may turn into two parts. But Daniel 9, verse 24 to 27. Bob says 70 weeks, all right? This is Daniel prophesying God's judgment against the nation of Israel because of their sin against God, turning their back on God, constantly going after false gods, all right, and the ways of the world. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, right? Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Speaking about the rebuilt temple in the days of the Great Tribulation, because in the tribulation, even though there's that 3.5 year peace, all right, there's a total 7 year peace treaty signed, but only 3.5 years of peace. It's during the first 3.5 years, it's believed that that's when the temple will be built, all right, during troublous times. The raptures happen. There's chaos on the earth. But yet there's peace in Jerusalem for 3.5 years in the land of Israel. All right, verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. All right, 1 week speaks of 7 years. All right, the 7-year peace treaty. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I mean, just in those verses, it speaks about Jesus Christ being crucified, cut off, but then the false prince of peace, the Antichrist, coming, making a peace treaty, the temple being rebuilt, that they will even be doing animal sacrifices again in the temple because they rejected the sacrifice of Jesus, right? They didn't believe that they did not believe he was the prince of peace. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. So they believe that if they still need to get back to the animal sacrifices, because you read the Old Testament, God gave them the Ark of the Covenant, again, that was put behind the Holy of Holies, behind that veil that the high priest could only go behind once a year, and he went behind with blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, all right, for an atonement for the sins of Israel, all right? So they reject the blood of Jesus Christ, so in the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation, they're going to have the rebuilt temple. They're going to be doing animal sacrifices. They're in the temple. But that means there must be an Ark of the Covenant. Where's the Ark of the Covenant? And right now, they say that the temple site is where the Dome of the Rock is, the Muslim Dome of the Rock. And the Jews aren't allowed to build there. So how can this come to pass? Is God's hands tied behind his back like, oh, you know what? They built the Dome of the Rock on the temple site. Now, they're not going to let my people build. Or is God a lot smarter than humans? Kind of jumping ahead, it is believed that they found the Ark of the Covenant along with all the furnishings, all the furniture that was in the temple, in the original temple, the last temple that was built, not the original, but the last one that was built before it was destroyed by the Roman Empire. All right, so it is believed that all that stuff has been found, but now they don't know where it's at. Someone's taken it, all right? Just if God's in control, God orchestrates things, it will come to pass, all right? Look at, again, verse 1. Well, all right, look. You guys read on the introduction on your own, all right? The time of Jacob's trouble, it's all that just kind of introduction to this period that they're in, all right? Verses 1 and 2, the rebuilt temple. They do not have a temple right now, okay? There's always been fussing and fighting and war over the Temple Mount because the Dome of the Rock is there, all right? But in verse number 1, there was given to John, a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise, measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. That would be God's people. But the court which is without the temple, leave out. Measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. So here it seems as though God is letting them know that the temple is going to be rebuilt, but the court of the Gentiles be left out because the temple is only for the Jews to worship and to do their sacrifices. So it kind of seems like the Dome of the Rock will remain where it's at. Because, I mean, if you know anything about the Muslims and the Jews in regards to the Dome of the Rock, they're not going to let the Jews tear down their, I'll call it a mosque, tear down their mosque and build a Jewish temple. That's not going to happen. But the Antichrist is able to come up with a peace treaty. It is believed, miser. Koinonia House, have you ever heard of that? Koinonia House? I'm trying to remember the guy's name. He's a great Bible teacher. Anyway, he said that as he was studying, you know, the temple and all of that, that according to tradition is that when you stand, and I forget where, if it's the Mount of Olives, but when you look through the eastern gate, you are supposed to be able to see the temple. But when you look through the eastern gate today, which you can't because it's closed, there's nothing there. All right? Just pretend like this is the eastern gate. All right? If you're looking through, you're supposed to be able to see the temple. But the Dome of the Rock is right here. You can't see it. You wouldn't be able to see it through the gate. So it is believed that the true site of the temple is north of the Dome of the Rock. That where the Dome of the Rock is, that's not even the site. That never was the site because it was tore down, right, the temple. That's actually north of it. So you gotta think, how can the Antichrist get the Muslims to agree with letting the Jews build their temple? Well, as long as it's not on their site, as long as it's not on the site of the Dome of the Rock, okay, go ahead. So you think north of that kind of makes sense, all right? If you just think about it, kind of makes sense. I mean, how can this unfold? How can this come to pass where they rebuild the temple? You know what they teach today? Let's coexist. You ever heard of Chrislam? Chrislam is mixing Christianity with Islam, but it's Catholicism mixed with Islam. It's not true Christianity, all right? So it's possible, and I'm kind of jumping around here, but look at your handout. Go to the back page to the Abrahamic family house. And this comes from forhumanfraternity.org, all right? Got it there, you can look it up. This is something that is supposed to be completed this year in 2023, and I couldn't find anything if it's already been completed. But these buildings, look at the picture, these buildings are being built. In fact, I'll read this. The Abrahamic family house will be a beacon of mutual understanding, harmonious coexistence, and peace among people of faith and goodwill. It consists of a mosque, church, synagogue, and an educational center to be built on whatever island that is, the cultural heart of, however you say that, in the United Arab Emirates. All right. Anyway, through its design, it captures the values shared between Judaism, Christianity, no, Catholicism. They put Christianity, because again, they lump everybody under Christianity. But you read the Bible, what's true Christianity? Following Jesus Christ, believing in him only by faith for salvation. Okay, but anyway, so basically you have these three buildings. One's a mosque, one's a synagogue for the Jews, and one is, I'll say, a Catholic church. All right, because the Catholic Church is all about uniting all religions because it will be the one world religion. How do you get people of all faiths to come together under one religious umbrella to even accept the one world religion? All right, this all kind of plays towards it. All right, but again, this is something that has been in effect, and they're supposed to open this year. All right, coexist. Right, all right. So, And God allows it because, again, let me ask you this question with the rebuilding of the temple. Why? Why does there need to be a rebuilding of the temple during the time of the Great Tribulation, all right, during the 3.5 years of peace, all right? Remember, the temple, the Antichrist allows the temple to be rebuilt during the first 3.5 year peace treaty. Why is a rebuilt temple allowed? Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, this is what the devil wants, I will ascend into heaven. He can't take God's throne. I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like. He can't be God. He can't take God's place, but he says, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. So in Isaiah, it talks about the Antichrist, talks about the devil. He wants to be like God. How can he be like God? Because he's kicked out of heaven. He cannot dethrone God off of his throne. The Ark of the Covenant is a picture of God's throne. Now, if you've seen pictures of the Ark of the Covenant, you've got two cherubs. No, you've got the Ark of the Covenant. The top is called the mercy seat, and you have these two cherubs that it says they're their wings overshadow it. And a lot of times you see pictures and drawings of the Ark of the Covenant where the wings, let's just pretend like this is the top, where the wings kind of come over like this, all right? And that's what we've always seen. And the Bible says that when the blood would be applied to the mercy seat, the Shekinah glory of God would descend upon the mercy seat and, I'll say, sit there. How is that if you've got the top covered? It's not like a throne. So I've seen another picture that kind of makes sense where it's the two cherubs, but their wings, they have wings, but the wings on their right side and left side go to the back. And it looks like, in fact, all right, that kind of makes sense when you look at it. It looks like a seat. It looks like someone could sit there. All right, because you've got the wings, all right, down by the side in the front, and you got the ones in the back. So it kind of resembles a throne where someone could sit down on it. Okay, so you think when the blood would be applied, the Shekinah glory of God would descend upon the throne. All right, remember, everything in the Old Testament is a mirror of what's in the New Testament. The tabernacle, the candlesticks, the showbread, the Ark of the Covenant, all the furnishings in the tabernacle, in the temple, are a picture of what is in heaven. John is in heaven. He's given a reed and he's told, measure. Measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. So you think about the Ark of the Covenant. The purpose of the Ark of the Covenant, again, was to put the blood on there, all right? The sacrifice for sin, the blood that was shed for sin from the spotless lamb was placed upon the mercy seat. It was, in some regards, it was accepted by God. All right, the sins of the people. Again, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. His blood is spilt for the remission of sin. But when you get in the Old Testament, when you get in the New Testament, I think it's in chapter 13, when it talks, or no, I think it's 2 Thessalonians. But in the last days, the Antichrist will break the 7-year peace treaty at the 3.5-year mark by going into the temple, into the Jewish temple, sitting down and proclaiming he's God. In fact, oh yeah, right here in your notes, 2 Thessalonians, back to the first page, Antichrist sitting in the temple. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first,
and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's been the devil's goal all along, to be like God, and he's going to do it when the temple's rebuilt. At the 3.5 year mark, he's going to break that peace treaty by going into the rebuilt temple, sitting down, I believe, upon the Ark of the Covenant, because as a picture of God's throne, he sits down and he claims he's God. And that's when the Jews start being persecuted, because they realize, uh-oh, we were following the wrong guy. Because up until this point, they're happy, the Antichrist, they believe, you know, oh, he's given us a peace treaty and everything's great. But then he starts killing the Jews. So again, the rebuilt temple is, it's to fulfill God's word. The devil has to sit down in the rebuilt temple, has to sit on that Ark of the Covenant and proclaim that he's God. Matthew 24, Jesus says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains." The Jews are going to flee when this happens. "Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days." Those that have children, those that have infants, because it's going to be a devastating day and time, the 3.5 years. All right? So continuing on, verse 2. Verse 2, it says, "No Gentile court." The temple is measured, the altar, those that are worshiping therein, but no court. "The court which is without the temple, it's left out. Measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles." All right? The temple is for the Jews, not for Gentiles. The Dome of the Rock is for the Muslims. It's believed the building site of the original temple is north of the Dome of the Rock. Kind of already talked about that. But the second part of verse 2 is that the holy city is going to be tread underfoot. Notice at the end of it, "And the holy city," would be, with that's Jerusalem, "shall be," or "shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That's 3.5 years. That's the second 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. The first 3.5 years, there's peace. They're allowed to rebuild the temple, which, where you know it's not, and I, again, if you go on your introduction, or if you go under where I got verse 1 and 2, the rebuilt temple, I gave you some resources to look at, templeinstitute.org, they have already been preparing for the rebuilt temple by going over the sacrifices and the services and preparing the men that will be a part of that, all right? They've already actually even been doing animal sacrifices at the Western Wall, practicing for when they are allowed to rebuild the temple and to go in and to do what they want to do and have been wanting to do, which is according to Scripture. But again, the holy city is tread underfoot 42 months. All right, Revelation 13 says, "And there was given unto him a mouth," speaking about the Antichrist, the beast, "a mouth speaking great things of blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations." Speaking of the Antichrist, the beast, power was given unto him. All right, so the 3.5 year mark, he's going to make war. We'll get more into this as well, but at that 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist comes. He makes that 7-year peace treaty. 3.5 years, the temple's rebuilt, they're doing their sacrifices, they're doing all of that that they want to do. But then at the 3.5 year mark, the Antichrist breaks it. What also happens at the 3.5 year mark, and we'll get more into it, is that the two witnesses are killed. The Antichrist is killed. He receives a deadly head wound, but then he's revived. He comes back to life. And it is believed that Satan enters into him, goes and sits on the throne, claiming himself to be God. All right. Now, these two witnesses, no time is escaping, so I've got 10 minutes. Let's try to go through it. All right, verses 3 through 13. All right. I titled it Jehovah's Two Witnesses, okay? God Almighty, Jehovah's Two Witnesses, which would be Moses and Elijah. Not Enoch and Elijah, but Moses and Elijah, and I give you reasons why. Why two witnesses to start with? All right, verse 3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That's 3.5 years. They are preaching during the 3.5 years at the beginning. Not the second 3.5 years, but the first 3.5 years when there is peace. When the building of the temple, all of that is going on, and there are animal sacrifices, all of that. Because God is showing these two men are preaching against the Antichrist and preaching the coming of the Messiah. Preaching the coming of the Messiah. All right? For time's sake, I won't read all the way down to verse 13. But why two witnesses? Well, the Jewish law demanded two witnesses to give competent evidence concerning matters of law, religion, or the dealings of men with one another. Found in Deuteronomy 17. All right? Think about this in John 20, 12. Two angels were in the tomb of Jesus the morning of his resurrection. In Acts chapter 1, there were two angels that appeared to the disciples after Jesus ascended up back to heaven, right? And they speak to the men, what are you looking at, right? He's going to come back in the same manner. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus commissioned 70 disciples to go out by twos, right? He commissioned 70, but they went two by twos. To go and to preach, to go and to heal the sick, to cast out demons, all right? So, in the mouth of two or more witnesses, the Bible says, let it be established, okay? So you got two witnesses, all right? They will give a mournful prophetic message of judgment for 3.5 years. They're clothed in sackcloth. Sackcloth just symbolizes calamity and judgment. You read the Old Testament, and sometimes they would have on sackcloth as they would preach the judgment to God's people because of their sins. Verse number 4, they are the two olive trees. Look in verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Right? Zechariah chapter 4 mentions this. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep and said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, the other upon the left side thereof. Verse 14, then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So again, prophesied in the Old Testament. Here it is in the New Testament happening in the seven-year tribulation. Verse 5 says that they have power. Power. They have fire that comes out of their mouth against all that will try to hurt them. Does that sound familiar? Because in 2 Kings chapter 1, Elijah would call fire down upon those that would come to him. So he's sitting on a mount. Men would come to him and say, and try to take him, fire would come down, consume them, right? But then there was a third man, and his troops were sent, and he came and begged Elijah, will you just come down with us, have mercy upon us, all right? they have the ability to cause it not to rain during the 3.5 years. Well, same thing happened with Elijah. During the days of King Ahab, Elijah caused it not to rain 3.5 years. And that's mentioned in James 5:17. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. verse 6, they're able to turn water into blood. Well, Moses did that, all right, back in Exodus. And they're able to strike men with different plagues at will. Well, Moses did that, right? In the days of Moses, the water was turned to blood. He had the 10 plagues. Elijah, again, and fire, all right? So it's believed that it's Moses and Elijah and not Enoch, all right? And we'll finish up next week on this, why it's not Enoch, all right? So let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you again this morning for the truth of your word. Thank you, Father, for revealing things to us. Lord, we thank you that you have revealed the truth of your word to us, to guide us, to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And we thank you that you have kept your people that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. You've kept them from the day of your wrath. You've kept them from the great tribulation, the time when your focus turns back to Israel, to focus upon your people. And Lord, we do thank you that there will be people that put their faith and trust in Jesus during that time as well. Father, I ask that you would continue to bless our time, continue drawing us unto you, giving us wisdom, discernment, and understanding. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right.